Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, one and all. Greetings, Kingdom citizens, Grand Rising, and welcome to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. I thank you for joining us. Hallelujah. On tonight, we have to really go back to last week. I was informed that last week call did not fully record. So I do want to touch on a few things from last week. But we thank you for joining us tonight, a Sister Girl Network platform ordained by God. And now where we're at, we're walking in spiritual authority. Spiritually minded is peace and life. For we know Romans 8:6-8 tells us that. I love to read that scripture because we must really allow it to resonate deep within our heart to truly understand that we have to have a willing heart to move from a carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset. And before we pray, let me read Romans 8:8. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You hear that? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so when I read that scripture, every time I read it, I get a new revelation from it. And just reading it in full hearing, it's making me aware that every time we allow the flesh to lead, we are in a position of death, being spiritually dead. Because of the flesh. Wow. Let us acknowledge our Father before we go any further in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you, we honor, and we praise you. Oh, Lord, we give you all praise because you are worthy to be praised. Oh, Father, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. For you are everything to us. You are our first and our last, our Alpha and our Omega. You are the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. You are Abba, our Father. Hallelujah. You are the lily of the valley, the way, the truth, and the light. And Lord, we thank you. And so, Father, we ask that you cleanse our hearts and renew a right spirit. Oh, Father, we ask that you download divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Oh, Father, as we go forward to talk about the empty house, we bind up confusion, distraction in the name of Jesus. And we loose in the atmosphere, your atmosphere, my atmosphere, divine peace. Understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. So tonight we were going to get into through a empty house, talking about the unclean spirits as Matthew 12 talks about. But before we get into that, I want to touch on a little bit of last week. Last week was doing your part is the key. Like, you know, sometimes even in the natural, we have a part that we have to do. You know, we have to participate. There's things that only you can do for that particular thing. And so last week, the scripture that I brought forth for doing your part is the key was Psalms 144:1. And this is a song of David. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. We serve a God of war. Oh, we know we serve a living God, a God of compassion and love, but we also serve a God of war. Because we have to understand the history, understand the path that our ancestors took to understand the God that we serve, right? And so in bringing in that topic last week, I talked about confession, repentance with conversion, denouncing, renouncing, and made free. And the reason I brought those in with that topic of doing your part is the key. It's because we have to get to a point in our journey that we're walking in spirit and in truth about things we have touched, agree with, different coverings we have made, right? And so I talked about these things in a way for us to mature in them, right? Because sometimes, like, you know, we might say it and we might hear other people say it, even in the body of Christ, not just the world. Because walking in truth, it goes to what the Word of God says. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so as we grow, as we go through the process, as we move from glory to glory, growing into God's grace and knowledge, we embrace truth. So the truth is not just all good, right? Because it has to be truth about our messiness. And so we have to walk in truth about things that we touch and agree with and the coverings that we make. So confession, willing to confess our bad behavior, repentance along with conversion, denouncing and renouncing becomes a part of our lives. And we understand that it's not a part of our lives because we're the worst of the worst, right? No. It's a part of our lives because it moves the loophole that the enemy used to bound us up, to put us in bondage. I shared a couple of things. I talked about renounce, which is to disown. Now, we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, right? Nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting the truth. See, I say that when I say handing the word of God deceitfully, because even sometimes, you know, we have probably experienced it personally where people take the word of God to put you in bondage. We have seen it through oppressed teaching, false prophets. And so we have to understand that renounce is to disown. So we're disowning. We renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully. And so we have to go through that stage of renouncing. And then we have to understand that even in our repentance, as we repent, there is also conversion that has to go with it. And so let me just talk about repentance for a minute. Now, repentance is a personal decision to change your allowance from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Acts 11:18 says, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Although emotions may be involved in repentance, true, listen to me, sister girls and brother men, true repentance is a decision, not just a emotion, right? Because sometimes we get caught up, right? We get caught up in our mess, you know. We don't feel sure. We done things, touched things we had no business, right? So now we're in a state of emotions, right? Oh, Lord, help me. I ain't going to do it. You know, no. So that happens, right? And all of this is a process because we all have been there. I have been there. But then at a certain point in our journey, we understand that true repentance is a decision, not just an emotion. So, repentance is important because God commands it. But God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Repentance is important because it is necessary to avoid spiritual death. Luke 3. But except I repent, thy should all likewise perish. Repentance is important because it is necessary for eternal life. It is necessary for forgiveness. It is God's desire for all. It is the reason Jesus came into the world. Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repent. That is one of the reasons that I started off before I got into going deeper in the definition is we do not repent. Denounce, renounce, confess, because we are the worst of the worst. Because when we look at Luke 5, God said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. See, God loved the black backslider. He loved to pull us out of darkness. He so loved us before we could even love ourselves. But see, in our repentance, we must understand conversion has to come along. Then when we look at conversion, means to turn. And so in conversion, we repent, right? We repent. So we are making a decision. But in that decision, we're turning away. And so with the repentance, conversion come along. Now, when it is used in connection with biblical repentance, I'm talking about conversion. When it is used in connection with biblical repentance, it means to turn from the wrong way to the right way. 1:16. And many of the children of Israel should he turn to the Lord their God. Conversion is turning from darkness of sin to the light of God's righteousness. It is turning from the power of Satan of God. I'm sorry. It is turning from the power of Satan to God. It is turning from worldly things to spiritual things. Conversion must accomplish repentance. You must turn from the wrong to the right because it is necessary to enter the kingdom. See, it's not about us feeling like we're never going to do wrong. We're never going to fall short. That's not what this is about because they're always going to go to what your heart desire is, right? And so you're not willingly being sinful, right? Sin. You're not willingly doing things that you know can keep you in darkness, right? So we all fall short of the glory of God, but it's our heart desire to do right, to be pleasing in his eyes, to turn from a carnal mindset to a spiritual mindset. Oh, not because we are being told, but because we have a desire to do so. So in doing that, we go through that process, the transformation of the renewing of our mind. We understand that we must relearn everything. And so repentance, the change of the mind, conversion, acting on that decision. And so those are a couple of things that I had talked about last week, right? Because as we go deeper, as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal all things, right, we have to understand that our prayer life, our fasting, the word of God, our praise and worship, praying in the Spirit, embracing our instructions, putting on our full armor of God, picking up our cross, right, is coming so essential, because as we become awakened spiritually, right, as we become stronger in that being, that first being, our spiritual being, that it turns up the notice to the enemy. And so we have to protect ourselves, right? Because if we don't, then as we're touching on these things, we're giving the demons, the spirit realm, a loophole. And so I brought that in last week, that, you know, the call that didn't go through. And I talked about a couple loopholes, right? Because I like to share my testimony with certain things, right? And so in some of the activities, it was talking about the different loopholes that in specific behavior that the enemy used. And one of them was temptation, fear, deceit, disruption. You know, disruption is a major activity for the enemy, them demons. Boy, they love that, right? Though they cannot create problems out of anything, oh, but they can do some pushing and tempting and enticing people to make poor and unwise decisions. And so that's a loophole that they use because of specific behaviors. And so we have to be aware of all this, right? Because before I can talk on the next level, because I had, if you haven't heard the previous recorders or the previous message, on our new platform of Spiritually Minded is Peace and Life, then go back and listen. Because I talked about the low-level spirits. And before we can get fully to the next level, we have to keep our foundation strong. That's what this is about. And these things are worth repeating. And so let's look at tonight. I want to touch a little bit on through a empty house. Matthew 12:43-45. And it reads, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he say, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So should it also be with this wicked generation. Sometimes when we're talking about spiritual things, or we're talking about the enemy and we're talking about a demon or demonic activity, sometimes we can feel the Lord, you know, I don't know if I want to tell. But see, as children of God, as his holy people, his holy nation, his holy priesthood, peculiar people, this is our life. We have instructed not to be ignorant to Satan's devices. When Matthew 12 talks about the unclean spirit leaving out of the man, the house is your temple, your body. So the unclean spirit has left. But what have you filled it with? See, in this scripture right here, the man did not fill it with things he need to fill it with to block the spirit from coming back. To put the spirit on notice that no longer is this house empty, swept up and cleaned out, ready for you and seven more. See, the unclean spirit has returned because we are in a wicked generation right now. Even when we look at the word of God in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it tells you, when you read that scripture right there, you know we are living in some wicked times. It says, but know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, proud, blasphemous, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despised of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denied its power, and from such people turn away. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 tells us that. See, an unclean spirit affects the soul of a person. I talked about this before. One thing I have realized through my journey, that I was receiving my training, my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding in spiritual things. As I'm going through my process, but in that I knew that it wasn't for me to speak on it because I had to be first partaker of them, right? God wanted me to have truly a deep understanding of it and how it affects me personally to share with you empathy way, not sympathy, empathy, right? And so I have touched on unclean spirits, but not as deep as we're going to touch tonight. Because the unclean spirit affects the soul of a person. Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. That's the war. The war is over your soul, because whoever controls your soul controls your life. Then Matthew 12 tells us that when the unclean spirit realized there was room, it brought back seven other spirits more wicked. And two of those spirits that the unclean spirit hang out with is the seducing spirit, spirit of a man, and the spirit of infirmity, which affects the body. And that's just two of them that hang out with the unclean spirit, right? But see, these things affect the essence of who you are. Our spirit, soul, and body are what makes us us. That's why these are important to understand, to recognize, to bind up, to walk in truth about, before I go a little deeper with them, I have a few questions I just want to ask. And I always tell you to bring your pen and your paper, to have your journal. A few years ago, I pushed that. I'm a journal writer. I love to just write my thoughts down or write things that, you know, I'm dealing with, or write down my dreams and all. And it's a good thing. But I tell you to get your pen and paper, because sometimes in scriptures, it's good for you to test my spirit. You go back and you read in your reading time the different scriptures that I bring forth. I want to ask you a couple questions. How much and how often do you pray and fast? And that's between you and the Holy Spirit. Write it down. Answer this question. See, we are able to be vulnerable with ourselves. So I'm giving you the question to answer, to pray about. How much and how often do you pray and fast? How often do you read and meditate on the Word of God? You know, I know we might fellowship on Sundays, and I might do Bible studies on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, Friday. And then we might have it where we might come together as a group, as a church, as a congregation, and have a prayer night. But I say you, because this journey has to become personal. We do those things. Don't forsake the assembling. So we do those, right? But we have to get to the point where it's not just we're waiting for a Sunday to come or a Tuesday to come or even a Monday night to hang out with me, even though I love your company. But it has to become personal. So how often do you read and meditate on the Word of God? How often do you spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit as a new creature? There are new things and new ways that we have to learn. Therefore, our house must be filled with all that is attached to that new creature life. I always laugh about this now, and I shared quite often that when I gave my life to Christ, right, born again in the Spirit, me personally, I thought that was it. Okay? Oh, I'm good. I gave my life to Christ. I'm going to serve God. That's it. And little did I know, when I heard the pastor say, this is the first day of the rest of your life, I didn't understand that. Oh, we got to start telling our brothers and sisters what that means. Now that you are born again in the Spirit, that means your spirit man is reconnecting to the Holy Spirit. Now your soul got to go through the transformation, the process. Now you got work to do. Now you got a part in it, right? Woo! I'm trying to tell you. When I think about that, I giggle. And I know I'm not the only one. But we have to talk about that part, right? Because it is easy for us to rely on God's promises. And in truth, it could be a struggle to deal with the instructions, the warnings, even the prophecies. But all those things are part of the makeup for the new creature, our new life. See, our new attachments, our new life, our relearning, transformation by the renewing of our mind, it takes us to surrender our will. It takes us willing to open up our heart. It takes a sound mind to endure moving from old to new, because some things we don't want to let go. Some things falls off easy. But some things, it takes a minute. It takes us thirsting and hungering after righteousness. It takes us willing to surrender. It takes us being tired and sick and tired of the same old, wanting new, wanting more, believing there's more, believing you're worthy for more. You know, it is true. We see what we want to see about certain things, or, you know, that can be true. But on the other hand, is it because of the influence in our life that determine what we see? Like when we deal with certain people, whether family or neighbors, friends, and they see everything on side view, right? Because they might be having trust issues. And so everything is suspect. Everybody's a suspect. Everything, you know. And that's okay to a certain degree, because for me, you know, I'm going to view you a certain way, but I'm still going to allow the spirit of discernment to come forth, right? Because really, we don't see no one character off the back. We see their personality. It takes time to see someone's character. And so we have to watch and pray. It is what and who influences our thoughts, beliefs, and assumptions without proof, to name a few. Whether we have the peace in the life or the chaos. The knowledge we receive as we grow spiritually from a carnal mindset removes certain beliefs, thoughts, and assumptions. We have to get stripped down to remove certain beliefs, oppressed teaching, certain things. So, you know, all of us was raised a different way. We have different beliefs. And so we have to get stripped down to embrace the new creature, to understand what that means, the new life, the belief of it. Even the word of God tells us that the wicked should not understand, but the wise should. And so as we grow, we do get a understanding in our new life. But it must become a desire. And so sometimes we want to skip the process, right? We want to skip over a couple of things. We don't want to deal with that. We don't want to deal with this. Now, I understand who I am in Christ at this moment, right? Because you don't understand everything. God don't give us everything all at once, right? And so it taps in with my old creature to a certain point, because I've always been a type of person where nothing on surface. I always wanted to go behind, like someone will be telling me something or sharing something, or I see something, but I will always question, well, why is this and when is this? And I always wanted to go deeper, right? You never could just give me one little sentence or say, this is it, boom, 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 and that would be enough for me. And so where I'm at in my life, where I'm at, where God had me at, that's how I operate. And so those of you all that are not, you've been with the platform for a minute, you know, I always go deeper. I don't want to just say, okay, like even with the low-level spirits, even though I brought them forth, I had to share more with them, go deeper with them, right? When I talk about the religious spirit, I have to go a little deeper about it, you know. I can't just say, oh, religious spirit, you know, we need to be broken from it. I share more with the even scripture that talks about it. I always talk about how Matthew's talk about the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, right? And so we have to get to that point and understand that's how God operates. And so we can't skip over to the cosmic level skip over everything else to make sure that we do not become casualties in the war, because we don't have the strong foundation of understanding that as we're touching on these things, there's things we must become disciplined in. Here's some knowledge worth repeating. There are different levels in the spirit realm, in the natural realm as well, right? A lot of stuff we deal with in the natural, there's different levels. Schooling, all that, it's different levels, right? So that's the same, natural and spirit. We contend with spirit when we don't bind them up and loose them out, then we open up for the stronghold. And the stronghold keep us still enough, keep us patting and stroking to allow the strong man, which become demonic and strong, it's hard. And so we have to be truthful about what we're touching and agreeing with. Sometimes we move at our own pace, and that's okay. Because long as we're moving, long as we're moving, even in our rough days of giving up, we had those days. You have to have someone to reach out first. You got to understand that even in our cry out, Lord, I need you, right? So we have to even be willing to walk in truth about those rough days, because we cannot fall into the temptation of isolating ourselves, the temptation of hiding, the temptation of shame and guilt. That's why confession, repentance with conversion, denounce, renounce is so critical in our lives. Because even in the worst of the worst, and we do what we need to do, confess, repent with conversion, denounce, renounce, we block the loophole of Satan. So I want to share this with you, because the Word of God tells us to put on your full of God. See, this is where we are. We're not quite in the middle, but see, we get ready to touch some things, right? What did I say? It didn't act right the taping last week, but spiritual warfare is a multi-dimensional thing, right? Which means it is fought in different dimensions, right? It is fought in different dimensions. And so we have to have a strong foundation with this. And so when the Word of God tells us to put on the full armor of God, the one thing came out when that touched my spirit in me studying, and that's Ephesians 6, talks about the full armor of God. One of the things came out is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6. With that breastplate, you got to guard your heart. That's what it do, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you can read Ephesians 6 in your reading, and it give you the whole list. But the breastplate of righteousness stood out to me, because it guards your heart. The breastplate's job is to protect. Oh, righteousness. It protects the righteousness in the thoughts and the deeds. It protects and shields valuable parts, the valuable part of you. Even when we examine the full armor of God, it is in preparation for war. when Apostle Paul talks about it, he gives us a visual of it, right? That's why he talks about naming it the helmet of salvation. He named it because he's in prison at this time. And so he's looking at the Roman God, right? And so he takes that of what they wear and he pulled it to a spiritual thing to give us a visual of what the full armor of God looked like. But it's about war. See, everything that is good, that God intends for good, Satan contests it. See, because even when we look at the word righteous, you might not even want to attach yourself to that word, right? I say that because one of my testimonies is how God showed me how Satan contests everything, especially everything that's holy. And so I always talk about the word holy because I can remember some years ago, I did not want to attach myself to that word. Ah, thou call me holy. Oh, man, when we think about our journey, when I think about mine, I giggle. But you see that? The word holy is who we are. Oh, it ain't about being better than anyone. It's God is holy, for we are holy. It is to procure your people. It is because we are God's people. It is holiness. It is your attitude. It is your actions, your deed and words. And so sometimes people would say things. I would hear that, and that's why I separate myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, she thinks she holy. Oh, she thinks she is all that and all righteous and stuff. Well, I thank you for the compliment. Praise God. But I ain't saying that. I'm just operating in who God called us to be as his holy nation. And so sometimes we have to rebuke people. Just like Jesus had to rebuke Satan through Peter. Satan was using Peter. And God said, I rebuke you, Satan, looking at Peter, because the word of God says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And Jesus was operating because he's our greatest example of how to live in a wicked world and still be pleasing unto the Father in our word and deed. The spirit of infirmity, it manifests in lingering disorder, oppression, even arthritis, bent bodies, even asthma, hay fever, allergy. Scriptures that talk about the spirit of infirmity. Look at Luke 13:11. John 5:5, 10:11. John 5:5. Acts 3:2. Acts 4:9. The root of this spirit. It's the work of the flesh. What do we bind? We bind the spirit of infirmity, and we loose upon us in the name of Jesus the spirit of life and the gift of healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, you have told us that we are healed by your stripes. See, that's why the word of God is so essential to us, because that is a weapon. And the word of God says, and I have given you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, our journey is not in our effort. We're not doing this alone. But we must be willing to go through the process. We must be willing to thirst and hunger. We must be willing to relearn. we learn. Here go another one. Seducing spirit. How do it manifest? It manifests through false prophets, signs and wonders, deception, hypocritical lies, seducers and enticers. Us as women, as men and women of God, we have to ask God to loose upon us in the name of Jesus the increase of the discernment spirit. See, because when you're dealing with that seducing spirit, that's how it manifests. It's enticing and it's seduced. You want to look at some scriptures about it? 1 Timothy 4:1, Proverbs 12:22, James 1:14. Same, the works of the flesh. What do we bind up? We bind the seducing spirit up in the name of Jesus. What do we loose? We loose in the name of Jesus. We loose the Holy Spirit in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, John 16:13. The unclean spirit, ever names for, is a foul spirit. Now, when we think about that, we already think about filth, right? But how do it manifest? It manifests a lot of ways: unclean thoughts, sexual sins, profanity, supernatural strength of demons, fornication, drunkenness. Legions are many. Fungus. Self, physical, mental, emotional injury. Antichrist spirits. Why do we have to know these things? We have to know what we're dealing with. We don't always have to call these things out, right? You know, we could still be made whole, set free from things. But in our knowledge, right, we embrace the knowledge of the Father. The Word of God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You are a spiritual being first. You must understand who you are in Christ. You must know that when you're looking at TV, you're looking at entertainment. You must know who runs this world. Satan is the father of these worlds. Some of these folks up in Hollywood, they serve Satan. Oh, you think you're looking at all these superheroes and stuff? That's a bunch of fallen angel stuff. We have to get into that. But before we go any deeper, we have to always come back to the foundation of understanding that we must be willing to pray and fast. Be obedient in these things because spiritually, to cover yourself, not only you, but those connected to you, you have to be able, when you're sharing these things with our saving souls, yourself, right, are going forth in what God have you, your foundation has to be strong. And so your praying and your fasting has to stay strong and obedient in it. The Word of God, you must stay obedient. Praise and worship, obedient. Praying in the spirit, obedient. Speaking in tongue, obedient. Meditating on the Word of God, obedient. We cannot touch the cosmic level before we touch the essential foundation of not allowing our house to be empty for the unclean spirit to come back. We're in wicked times. It is an urgency going on that we be spiritually minded. Even before we discuss the cosmic levels, we have to discuss dreams. We have to discuss dreams. You know, look at that spirit of infirmity, all we need to do is look at TV and we can tell what's the agenda, right? And that spirit of infirmity is all about us touching and agreeing to sickness. And we have to be very careful of touching and agreeing with these things, that spirit, allowing it to manifest in our life to the point we become addictive. We become overwhelming pressure of medicine, right? And that becomes our God because of the addiction that comes upon us with it. Your addiction, you see, when we think about addiction, we think about the brother man or the sister girl on the corner with a needle in their arm. But see, now the pharmaceuticals, they the drug dealers. They the super drug dealers. Now they wear suits and all that good stuff, right? And so now the addiction is your body becoming an addiction to this medicine because of the spirit of infirmity. So we have to be careful when we're touching and agreeing with things when God have gave us promises where he said, I have given you the authority to step on the serpent and the scorpion head to heal your body. It's about us understanding our part. It's about us understanding it, believing it, and embracing it. Embracing this. When you're weak, I'm strong. Even in your weakest time, you have to learn how to reach out, cry out to the Father, reach out to those that you know they like. You know they like. You know that they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are part of the kingdom. As we grow spiritually, the enemy will not lay down a flag and give us a pass to touch and share the goodness of the Lord with others. The warfare intensifies. The warfare change is shift and interferes in many cases. And because of that, knowledge is increased. And fresh manna comes forth in the name of Jesus. And so I leave you with this. This is a minister word for you. Luke 1:74-75. And it reads, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. You see that word holiness and righteousness before him? I brought that back in, you know. Don't be afraid. That's the trick of the enemy that allow us to reject the essence of who we are. God said, you are my holy nation, my holy priesthood, my peculiar people. That's who you are. You were chosen. Greatness was planted in you before you was known because of your spirit. That's why we're born again in the spirit to reconnect to our creator. Praise God. So now that I have spoken the last ministering word, which was Luke 1:74-75. I will also leave you with a prayer. In the name of Jesus, our life receive the anointing of the fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Our life refuse to be anchored to any evil in the name of Jesus. Our head with any evil burdens in the name of Jesus. We refuse to walk into any problems in the name of Jesus. Our hands refuse to magnetize problems to us in the name of Jesus. Every satanic architect of problems, a assigned to us, against us, be roasted in the name of Jesus. We break the backbone of any problems associated with every second of our lives in the name of Jesus. Any power that has been supplying strength to problems in our life, be wasted in the name of Jesus. We refuse to swim in the ocean of problems in the name of Jesus. Every remotely controlled problems energized by household wickedness be devoured by the line of Judah in the name of Jesus. We sack and dismantle any power behind the problems in our life in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we refuse to be kept busy by the devil. We receive power to convert failure designed for our lives to outstand success in the name of Jesus. We receive power to close down every satanic factory designed for us in the name of Jesus. We bind a stagnant, we bind up distraction, we bind up failure over our lives in the name of Jesus. I loose upon us prosperity in our health, in our faith, in our relationship, and every touch, hear, smell, or taste in the name of Jesus. I loose upon us divine health in the name of Jesus, divine understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare it done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. And last but not least, I leave you with these words. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Praise God. Well, this is the end, sister girl and brother man. Thank you for joining me on tonight. May the peace of the Father follow you everywhere you go. Sister girl and brother man, you are greatness. Good night. Peace.